Hi there, welcome along. Thanks for joining us on The Sweet Spot. It's Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer back from a week off to look ahead to the climax of the US Tour season. It's the Tour Championship, top 30 players. It's a handicap. Steve will explain all. Things are looking up on the European Tour. The Italian Open features some people you've heard of, which is great. And we've also got the Solheim Cup Team Ladies Golf. So hopefully Steve's fresh and raring to go. We will look back on a dramatic Sunday in just a moment. But first of all, what's the highlight of your holiday?
I can tell you the low light of the holiday was the Monday night. Obviously, the golf went into the holiday, which was very distressing. The Northern Trust finish on the Monday night. John Rahm threw that tournament away. Another odds-on shot gets defeated for me. So, yeah, difficult start. Wanted 2 days at the pylon. Couldn't have them. The wife had organised a trip to visit relatives in Kent. So 2 days touring Kent, putting on a brave face. The highlight... Do you like castles? Went to a castle.
Oh, which one?
Castle. Do you know Hever Castle?
Yeah, I know Hever Castle very well. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, I had a look at Henry VIII's sort of beheading tools. Very tempted to get hold of one myself after the John Rahm debacle. I didn't think it would be possible.
There's a nice golf course there, Steve, and it's got the longest par five I've ever played. It's like 620 yards. It just goes on forever. And for a weakling like me, that needs four good hits just to see the green, never mind land on it. Oh,
no, bro, but very nice. I didn't get to play that. I didn't play any golf last week, apart from one quick round of virtual golf at the local driving range. Now they've got virtual golf where you can play the courses all the way around the world. Yeah, I played St Andrews last week. I could say I played St Andrews, but it was virtual.
Yeah, is it realistic? Do you think? You know, if you hit a Brahma, it actually does reflect.
No. It isn't realistic because I hit a lot in the gorse bush, and the gorse bush didn't seem to matter. Like, you just hit it clean out the gorse bush. So, no, a few problems there. But it was nice.
I like the sound of virtual golf.
It
exonerates you for bad shots.
Yeah, it's better than real golf and better than watching golf. I mean, I don't know how you felt about last week. I don't know how your bets went. But Rasmus Højgaard winning that tournament was an absolute hammer blow after, his first outing since blowing the Kazoo Classic for us. And then Patrick Cantlay, we had him the week before in the Northern Trust. In the Northern Trust, we won him at 33-1. So, I always hope when I'm on my week off that someone like Tim Heron wins or someone that I've got no hope of backing. But it certainly wasn't the case last week.
Oh, well, never mind. Well done to Steve. To Ian Wilkerson, who stood in for you in the Racing Post last week and tipped Patrick Cantlay. But I tell you what, Steve, I mean, that playoff was something else, wasn't it? I took to Twitter to say it was some of the best golf I'd ever seen. I mean, it was just spellbinding stuff, wasn't it? Seven extra holes it took? Cantlay and DeChambeau had gone down the stretch. Cantlay held a monster on the final green to take it into a playoff. I'd switched off on 17 because he plonked one into the water and I assumed that was it, but it came back. Yeah. It was extraordinary stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lovely contrast in styles, wasn't it? Because you had DeChambeau just out driving Cantlay by miles, and DeChambeau's driving performance was amazing, but he kept missing the putts. And then you had Patrick Cantlay just holding everything. The greatest putting performance since records began.
Is that official?
Since 2003. True, yeah. Well, since 2003 on the strokes gained data, that's the best. Pick up on the field, 14.55 shots on the greens he picked up. Courageously hold his putts, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And also there was a bit of an edge. They didn't get on, did they? So I mean, I don't think anyone likes DeChambeau, but apparently he'd had a word with, I think he'd had a word with Cantlay during the final round, asking him not to walk while he was playing his shots, and there was the most perfunctory of handshakes at the end. So.
Yeah,
it got me thinking about the Ryder Cup locker room. I mean, they're not going to get that. No one likes this guy, do they?
No, that's right. No, DeChambeau was over a shot and he claimed to have caught Cantlay in his periphery walking, and he turned and said, "Stop walking, Patrick." Provided a real edge. I mean, I think it put DeChambeau off his shot more than anything, because DeChambeau then had a really poor approach. And as you say, they don't get on. Yeah, Ryder Cup locker room, it's a key component. Yeah, we're dangerously close to having a Ryder Cup conversation now. I've been promising you that for weeks, but DeChambeau, Kupka, Patrick Reed seems like he's back to fitness to play this week, so it'd be interesting to see when he gets a wild card. But yeah, they've got some serious issues. Yeah, you're right. There was tension in the air, but it was compelling viewing.
Oh, I thought it was absolutely superb. I really don't know. I was also pleased. I think it was Beam and Murray down the stretch doing the commentating, and they actually zoned out a bit. I didn't think the commentary was that good. It wasn't befitting of the occasion. But the good thing was they didn't keep going on about how it was a match play situation. I can't see, you know, that was one of my pet hates, isn't it?
Yeah,
people
yeah.
referring to match play when it's stroke play. But
Cartley seems to like the match play environment, because his last three victories have been really tight finishes against top class players, and he's beaten them now. And yeah, Cartley's elevated himself now. There used to be a few question marks over him in contention, but now he's gone up against the best and beaten the best. All credit to Patrick Cartley.
Absolutely. And he's top weight, so to speak, in the Tour Championship handicap. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, I mean, you're talking about Rasmus Højgaard winning. I backed Wiesberger this week, Steve. I mean, goodness me, your heart has to go out to me a bit, doesn't it? How much of your heart are you giving me?
There you go. I'm just passing all of my heart to you. Because, I mean,
case you didn't see it, it was the European Masters at beautiful Crom, where we keep promising ourselves we're going to go and never get there, but one year we'll make it, Steve. Anyway, he's got a one-shot lead going down the last, because Højgaard's come from nowhere, blitzed the back nine, and he's in the hut at whatever it was, minus 13, minus 14. Wiesberger's got one-shot lead, par four, sticks it in the bunker, and then just plays one of the worst shots I've ever seen. He's got about 140 to the green. He hits it 80 yards into the water and loses by a shot. I mean, it's just ludicrous, wasn't it? What was he doing?
It's horrific, isn't it? The one place you can't go is right. I mean, it's a very difficult shot, but just take the water out of the equation, go left, play safe, you know, guarantee yourself a playoff. I mean, serious question marks. I mean, I have my doubts whether Wiesberger could handle an away Ryder Cup gig. You know, yeah, he's got very little PGA Tour experience. He's not really contended for a PGA Tour event. I didn't want him on the side. I don't think Padraig Arrington wants him on the side. He wants Shane Lowry on his side. He wants Ian Poulter on his side. He wants Sergio Garcia on his side. There's not much room for Wiesberger in terms of picks. Only three picks for the European side, remember. So he has to qualify, I think, Wiesberger, on merit, as they like to say. Mm. And, it's really in the balance now whether he's going to do that.
Rasmus Højgaard.
I'd rather have Rasmus Højgaard on the team than, you know, Rasmus Højgaard is just astonishing to. Yeah, I'm sorry, mate. I'm sorry what happened there. I mean, Rasmus Højgaard, you know, timed his run perfectly this time, didn't he? When we were on him, he had a Saturday 62 with a three-shot lead of Sunday and didn't convert. This time he got his 63 in on the Sunday and just couldn't believe he'd won, really. He's become the third youngest player in history to get three European Tour wins on the board. You know, we're talking about a serious prodigy here.
He's very good, isn't he? He's very good. I mean, to be fair with that one, that kind of fell into his lap a bit, didn't it?
Agreed.
Wiesberger lost it rather than he won it. But yeah, three Tour wins at 20. I mean, that's ludicrous, isn't it? What were you doing at 20?
Christ.
Had you started at the Racing Post at that point?
Just after my 21st birthday, wasn't it? Yeah, I was almost 21st. I was a journalistic prodigy, Bruce.
You certainly were, mate. You absolutely were. Okay, anything else to note from last week before we look ahead?
Well, DeChambeau's the story, isn't it? All everyone wants to talk about is DeChambeau, and there's been lots of negative talk about DeChambeau. I mean, apparently he nearly had an altercation. Did you read about an altercation afterwards?
No, who with?
With a rowdy spectator. Straight after the playoff, he decided to walk up the hill to the clubhouse rather than get the buggy because he wanted to let off some steam. I mean, he had his steam coming out of his ears. And during the walk, a rowdy spectator obviously had a few Bud Lights or whatever filth they drink over there. He came behind and shouted, great job, Brooksy. No, they won't swear. Great job, Brooksy. And DeChambeau's turned round, come charging back. Yeah, everyone's thinking, oh, cripes, is the Incredible Hulk about to rip someone's head off? And fortunately, as they got close, by all accounts, he then gestured to a policeman to get him the F out of there. So, things are getting ugly over there. Things are getting ugly. And a lot of the DeChambeau chat is very negative. The heckling is every week now. The Brooks Koepka thing's gone on too long. But I thought, let's just concentrate on some positives for him. The driving performance was amazing.
Yeah. It was astonishing, wasn't it?
And he managed to stay so calm under all that heckling. He's well in the zone, wasn't he? And he had three really good chances to finish that off. And he was really unlucky not to win, really. So I think DeChambeau needs to be cut a little bit slack there, really.
Still a... that's sort of semi, isn't it? Anyway, I was delighted to see him.
I used that in front of my son the other day, and the wife didn't like it. And I think
I wouldn't use him in front of
No, you can't. Because they start saying it then, don't they, straight away.
Exactly. Okay, right then, that was last week. Let's look ahead to this week because there's loads of great stuff going on. Tour Championship, Steve. So it's the final 30. The winner gets $10 million or something obscene like that. And if you're looking at the betting...
15 million now.
15 million. Yeah, they needed that, didn't they? Because a lot of them wouldn't have entered if it was only 10 million. Let's give you a little taste of the betting. And if you're not aware of how this tournament works, you might be thinking, blimey, this is a weird show of betting. Patrick Cantlay, 72. John Rahm, 72. DeChambeau, 5. Finau, 7. And then a big gap to Thomas at 18. Dustin Johnson at 22. And it's 25-1 bar. And Steve, the reason for... for the favourites being so short is
the controversial handicap system, which was introduced in 2019. It's like Marmite. You either love it or you hate it. I think most people hate it. I don't mind it. Variety is the spice of life.
So it's not like Marmite then.
It's not a blooming preserve, whatever they call it.
You don't mind Marmite or you don't mind the handicap system?
I don't mind the handicap system.
Oh, okay, right. So it's not like Marmite then, is it?
Yeah, I suppose. Okay, well, let's try and get me back on track. Yeah, I love it.
No, but just explain. So basically, you earn shots for having been good in the last couple of tournaments, don't you?
Where you are in the FedEx Cup standings.
I mean,
you're very easily for you to fall into that trap because I think the first two playoff events have too big a bearing on it. My one criticism of it would be that the first two playoff events have too big a bearing. You could win 15 PGA Tour regular events this season and then mess up the first two playoff events. A bit like Colin Morikawa has. Colin Morikawa has had a great season, not played well in the first two playoff events and has gone into this the Tour Championship with not much of a chance, long way back. So that's where I think the system goes wrong. I think what you achieve during the year is not really it's so important to do well in the playoffs.
But the ones who haven't done very well, they start off scratch, and then you've got the likes of Cantlay getting a 10-shot lead, haven't you? So
yes,
the handicap is available obviously online, and it'll be in the Racing Post in your super duper preview tomorrow, won't it? So check that out.
Absolutely. Yeah, Patrick Cantlay's on 10 under par. Tony Finau's 8 under. Bryson DeChambeau 7 under. Bloody 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 blah, blah, all the way down to the back markers on level par.
Okay, tell us about the course.
Eastlake Golf Club, famous Atlanta, Georgia. 7,346 yards, par 70, so a long par 70. It's hosted this event in 1998, 2000, 2002, and from 2004 onwards. Long, tight, notoriously difficult to find fairways. Never get a low winning score here.
Does cream generally rise to the top, or do you get the odd? Is it the odd shock winner punctuated those?
We always have, only cream tend to start the event. No, this is a place for cream, yeah. And you talk about the prize money. They've actually shunted it up. It's $60 million spread across the players now. It was $48 million. So they've chucked an extra $12 million in there.
Absolutely amazing, isn't it? The amount of money that sloshes around these days, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, right then, how many selections?
Two
selections. Goodness me. Right then, what's your strategy going to be?
Two selections and both on to win the FedEx Cup. You must obviously stress the punters, two different markets this week. You can bet on lowest 72 hole scorer. Some people go for that. I like to stick with who's going to win the FedEx Cup market. That's what the players are interested in. The players don't know the lowest 72 hole scorer. They don't care. It's all about winning the main prize. So that's what.
And obviously, sorry, Steve, it's really important just to clarify this. The scores that Sky will be showing throughout their coverage do take into account the handicap. If you want to take the handicap out of it, you've got to do the math yourself, haven't you, basically?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, last year, Xander Schauffele was the lowest 72-hole scorer, but Dustin Johnson took the pot because he had that start.
Righty-ho, who's the main selection then?
The main selection might surprise a few people given the traumas that we went through a couple of weeks ago. It's John Rahm. We're going to have to forgive that. 4-1 John Rahm. Let's forgive that late wobble in the Northern Trust. He played such good golf for the vast majority of that event. He had chances to put the tournament to bed early on that back nine. He didn't convert them. Suddenly, all was lost. He went from looking imperious to losing the tournament in a flash. The one shot that actually cost him more than any other in the Northern Trust was his approach to the par 5 13th hole in round 3. And he flushed the shot. He had 244 yards into the wind, flushed a 4-iron. He said he caught a bad gust of wind and it didn't carry the water hazard. You obviously have to question the club selection, but that destructive double bogey, it came about for a flush shot. Rahm has been swinging so well. He's playing with such long game confidence. And the tee to green difficulty of Eastlake plays into his hands this week. I mean, last week's venue was ridiculously easy, wasn't it? Every player in the field, I don't know if you noticed, every player in the field finished under par.
I did.
You know, 27 under par was carded by two players. The best putter of the week ended up leaving with the trophy. This week, a much, much stiffer examination of a player's long game. Rahm is the best out there in that department by a long way at the moment. And he's got a four-shot deficit. We talk about handicaps. Rahm has got a four-shot deficit with 72 holes to play. You know, it's not easy for punters to make these calculations. This is such a unique tournament. Yeah, you know, we missed the old Bob Hope Classic. Do you remember the Bob Hope Classic five-round event?
Yeah, that's right.
So,
yeah.
so you could
in
have
January, wasn't it?
That's it. An absolute beauty of an event. You know, a 90-hole tournament. So you could have a four-shot lead with 72 holes to play in that. But these days, the only time that scenario happens is in the Tour Championship. But the point I'm trying to make is Rahm has got such a long time to eat into that deficit. And I think he should be clear favourite. I was surprised he wasn't favourite this week. You know, he's jostling for favouritism with Patrick Cantlay. Patrick Cantlay is not for me. He played in the final first round Tubal alongside Justin Thomas in the 2019 Tour Championship. Just sort of went a bit sort of deaf in that ear. Hopefully nothing serious. No, I think
you've got
just
waxy ears.
No, I haven't. It's just lodged in a little bit too deep. As the actress said to the bishop. Thomas started on 10 under par. Cantlay was on 8 under par. So they both went out together in that final first round two ball. And the tension and they played defensively. They played rubbish, quickly swallowed up by the chasing pack. Cantlay's East Lake record is poor. If that putter cools, you know, if that putter cools from last week, I think Rahm will catch up very, very quickly.
OK, is the course not really suitable to Cantlay because of his comparative lack of length off the tee? Is that the issue with him?
Well, he says that it fits his eyes. Actually, in the post-round interviews on Sunday, he was saying how much he's looking forward to it. He says it fits his eye, but his record is poor there. You know, you can't really believe what he's saying, given his record there.
He doesn't look like the kind of guy who would have gone out smashing tequila down his throat or anything after his win. He seems... I wouldn't call him dull. I don't know the guy, but he seems pretty steady, doesn't he? And dedicated, let's say.
Well, at least he actually smiled after winning on Sunday, didn't he?
I missed that. He
very rarely breaks into a smile, but I think he enjoyed having the crowd supporting him, you know, because obviously the crowd's very anti-DeChambeau these days. And they're all shouting Patty Ice, weren't they? They gave him a new nickname, Patty Ice, Patty Ice.
Why do they call him that?
Because he's got ice in his veins, like holding all those putts. Right. They decided to call him Patty Ice, and he absolutely loved it. Because they hadn't had a Baltimore event. Baltimore hadn't had a PGA Tour event for ages. They all absolutely loved it. So, yeah, he's a happy chappy at the moment, but I can't see him getting the job done. I remember being on him in 2019 and watching him in that final Tubal in the first round, and it was horrible to watch. And, you know, Rahm, similar character to Cantlay, fiery temperament. But, you know, Rahm... All the main negatives for Rahm this season, you know, the Memorial debacle where he had to pull out with COVID, the Northern Trust debacle where, you know, heartache for us. It's all forgotten if he wins this week. You know, I think Rahm will come out ruthless this week, you know, totally focused. And remember, he's fresher than his rivals as well. Missed the Olympics, missed Memphis, WGC. You know, there's a few running on empty at the moment. Colin Morikawa, a few tweaks here and there. Rahm, fresh and fired, firing and ruthless.
I've just got this issue with Rahm where I just feel like at one or two points in the round when the heat is on, I don't think he reacts brilliantly sometimes. I just think he loses his rag a little bit, doesn't keep his cool. I don't know. I bow to your superior judgment, but I don't know. I just think sometimes that temperament can still flare up and hamper him a little bit.
Sure,
but anyway.
Sure. But if you could name a player playing better from tee to green than him, over the last few months, that I think you'll struggle.
Okay. I can't.
Yeah, I think East Lake is such a demand that TD Green test it. I think it's made for.
Rightio. And your other selection is?
Yeah, just one other. And this will probably surprise a few people. It's Rory McIlroy at 25-1 because I said I would leave him alone for this year after the coach switch. I wanted to give him some time to get his swing in order with Pete Cowan. But I really like what I saw last week, and it was a performance that came after some equipment changes. I know he starts the tournament a long way behind, but I can see a free-flowing McIlroy charging up that leaderboard. He starts on 2 under par, so he's got 8-shot deficit to overcome. He's going for 3 FedEx Cup titles. Nobody has ever won 3 FedEx Cups. I think McIlroy is capable of it. Finished 4th last week in the BMW Championship. And going into the event, he got an old 3-wood out of his garage. Fell in love with that old 3-wood. He put a new shaft in his driver. Drove the ball absolutely beautifully in the BMW, and he went back to his old tailor-made spider putter. finished 10th in the BMW putting stats. He says with the blade putter that he was using, his good days are really good, his bad days are terrible. Much more consistent with the Spider putter. So I think McIlroy's peaking for the Tour Championship, and then he's going to have a fortnight off before the Ryder Cup. Loves East Lake, fantastic course record, loves this tournament. And McIlroy knows better than anyone that you can overcome these handicaps, because he started 5 shots behind in 2019, 5 shots behind Justin Thomas, ended up winning the tournament by 4 shots. McIlroy beat Thomas by 10 shots over the 72 holes. So that 2019 performance shows he can do it. Yeah, McIlroy loves East Lake. He can get well into this from 8 shots behind.
Be some year, wouldn't it, Steve, for him? Because I mean, he has, you know, he's kind of played in fits and starts, whatever that means. It'd be amazing if he did carry off the prize at the end of it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, to become the only one to complete a FedEx Cup hat trick. Yeah, it's feasible. Yeah, he's going to have a 2 weeks off after this, so he can put it all into this. You know, Tour Championship and Ryder Cup is all he's thinking about now.
Oh, lovely. I should just point out about each way terms on this event, folks, by the way. The vast majority of bookmakers, it's 30 runners, it's a handicap, so it's a quarter of the four. There's a couple of bookmakers offering a fifth of five. There's one bookmaker shamefully going a fifth of four. So check it out on us. That's pathetic, that. Sort yourself out. I mean, I don't see why people can't go a quarter of the five. If you have a 30-runner horsey handicap, you get 5, 6, 7 places. But anyway, they've tightened their each-way belts this week. So
if you can get a quarter of the four, John Rahm at 4-1, I mean, yeah, I don't like saying these things, but each-way steal.
No.
Yeah, he's already in the places at the start.
No.
He's going to finish in the places. Trust me.
No, you can't. You can't say that, Steve. You never know what's going to happen. No one can predict the future, can they?
No, that's true. No, if we all could, we'd all be millionaires, wouldn't we? There'd be no bookmakers, I guess.
Okay, are we all done with that tournament? Is there anything else you want to say? Do you think Bryson can figure it? I mean, you say it's a tight, long course. Is that if he drives with the length and accuracy he did last week, then he's got to be a runner, hasn't he?
Yeah, a bit more punishment for missing the fairways. I mean, he did miss a few fairways. Bryson's not for me. He's got a lot on his plate at the moment. You know, investigations into his conduct, the conduct of the people that follow him. You know, the galleries are getting under his skin. Rightly so. I think I'd be the same if I had someone shouting, you know, come on, Brucey, every time I walked onto the golf course. I'd find it a little bit perturbing.
Yeah, it's bad enough when people at the bottom of the comments on this on YouTube say, I want Joe Champion back. Does that get under your skin? Does it affect your performance?
That's it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it probably does. So, yeah, I can see DeChambeau going into his shell a little bit this week. I think Xander Schauffele would be the one that we should mention in terms of a danger man. Yeah, Xander Schauffele's East Lake record is incredible. You know, Olympic gold medalist. You know, he starts on the same score as McIlroy. I just slightly prefer McIlroy.
All right, mate. Lovely. Thank you very much. Let's move across to Italy. The Italian Open is the European offering this week, and it's a decent field. Matt Fitzpatrick heads the market around about 14-1. Tommy Fleetwood, 16-1. So straight away, you've got two much better kind of quality front runners, market leaders than we've had recently. Wiesberger, 20-1. Migliozzi, the local hero, 25-1. Stenson, 30s. Rasmus Højgaard, 30s. And it's 33-1 bar. And Steve, I think talking about Ryder Cup, and I hate talking about the Ryder Cup except when the Ryder Cup's on, I think this is the venue for the 2023 Ryder Cup, isn't it?
Very much so, John. Yeah, the Marco Simone Golf Club in Rome, 7,268 yards, par 71. It's only hosted the Italian Open once before, and it's way back in 1994. I texted Jamie Spence yesterday, hoping he could give me some clues, because he finished 14th in that tournament. And he texted back saying he couldn't remember a single hole or a single shot.
Who won it? Constantino Rocco?
Eduardo Romero won that one.
Blimey. Was he the duck or the cat? I always get mixed
question.
Up.
I can't remember, actually. But
Cabrera,
Cabrera
was Cabrera, the duck?
El Pato, was he? I don't know. I mean, Angel Cabrera is in prison there, isn't he?
One of them was the duck and one of them was the cat. I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, cats and ducks, never mind that. Who's going to actually win the tournament, Steve? Oh, no. Are we straight in with the win, or are we still doing the course resume?
Well, I think we should talk about the course, because I have managed to find out a little
bit. Who was the cat? Eduardo Romero was the cat.
Oh, there you go. You sure it's not Phil Tufnell? Wasn't he the cat?
He was the cat as well, yeah.
There's a lot of cats out there, isn't there? But yeah, we got a tree-lined undulating layout, water hazard, lots of dog legs, and very slopy greens, heavily guarded by bunkers. So I think it's going to demand accuracy. I don't think it's going to be a pushover. I think it needs to be fairly accurate this week.
Cool. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds like a lovely venue for the Ryder Cup as well. Okay, how many selections?
We got five in this.
Okay, and who is the headline going to be?
Guido Migliozzi. Early 28-1 has gone, 25-1 still very fair. Prolific winner of events in Italy as a junior and as an amateur. He finished seventh as a teenager in the 2015 Abruzzo Open on his Alps Tour debut. He won that tournament 2 years later. He won twice in Italy on the Alps Tour in 2018. Migliozzi loves competing in his home country. Now he's going to be doing so at the peak of his powers. Migliozzi's taken his game to a new level this year. He turned 24 in January. He's been really impressive since. Second place finishes in the Qatar Masters, British Masters, made in Himmerland, was followed by fourth place in the US Open. An unbelievable effort at Torrey Pines. He's making his major debut at a course he'd never seen before, a well-established PGA Tour venue, and only John Rahm, Lou Oosthuizen and Harris English could beat him. Serious respect is due for that US Open performance.
I didn't realise that. That's amazing.
Oh, it was unbelievable. He was fist pumping. I don't think he could believe what was happening, but he was so courageous to finish fourth in that tournament. Last week, he took a while to get going. He had a month off, but he closed with a 65 for a share of seventh place in the European Masters. This week, he's got the Rome crowd behind him. You know, he's a dark horse for the Ryder Cup if he wins this week and maybe next week. He's well equipped to give the galleries plenty to cheer.
Great. Okay. God, you finished early there. I thought it was going to be a bit morning, but okay, you caught me on the hop there. Okay, so Guido Migliozzi is the main selection. And then who's the second likeliest winner in your eyes?
Rasmus Højgaard at 30-1. You know how much I rate this lad. His progress has been rapid, as discussed. Matteo Manassero and Seve Ballesteros are the only two players who have won three European Tour titles at a younger age. I don't think Højgaard will go down the Manassero route. I think
what's happened to him?
Such a shame, isn't it? Yeah, didn't hit it very far. Wanted to try and hit it a bit further. Lost his swing. All went horribly wrong. I think Højgaard would be more a Ballesteros than a Manassero. I think, you know, they're big words. Probably won't get close to that. But I mean, you know how much I love this player. He was third in the Kazoo Classic when we were on him. His swing has clicked into gear. And he seems to have found a caddy he likes. I mean, when we were on him in the Kazoo, he was borrowing Søren Kjelsen's caddy just for a one-week only affair. He's been struggling to find a caddy he likes. You know, last week, they obviously gelled magnificently. I can see back-to-back victories for Højgaard. It's entirely feasible.
Jolly good. Next.
Next is Victor Perez at 60-1. I've noticed over the last year or so, a few players have suddenly raised their game when their world ranking has become a serious issue. Sergio Garcia is a good example. He won the Sanderson Farms Championship just as he was about to lose his place in the world's top 50. Rory McIlroy won at Quail Hollow just after dropping to his worst world ranking for centuries. Kevin Kisner won the Windham Championship the other day, a week after dropping outside the world's top 50. The world rankings can definitely provide an added spur to a player. I see that happening with Victor Perez. I think we're going to get a really focused performance in Italy this week. He's reached a critical stage in his career. He slipped outside the world's top 50 last week. He's in danger of wasting all the hard work that got him there in the first place. He was runner-up in Abu Dhabi last year, runner-up in the BMW PGA Championship last year, ninth at Sawgrass, fourth in the WGC match play. You know, Perez has excelled in some big events, but he's lost his way since the match play. He's parted company with his caddy, JP Fitzgerald.
Oh, has he?
They missed the cut in the Open Championship. JP said he doesn't want to go travelling around America anymore. He's had enough of that with Victor. So it's time for Perez to stop the rot. 13th place in the Kazoo Classic was encouraging. This week's assignment looks right up his alley. It's a ball strikers track. I think Perez can get back in the world's top 50 and resurrect his slim Ryder Cup hopes. He's got an old college teammate on the bag since JP left. So I think that'd be a good short-term partnership.
Jolly good. Okay. And he says, elongating it so you can get your Diet Coke, Daniel. Oh. Who's the fourth selection?
Another Frenchman. Another French fancy. Antoine Rosner. Another player who had Ryder Cup hopes earlier in the year after a strong WGC match play effort. He beat Bryson DeChambeau. We're all talking about Bryson DeChambeau. We're not talking about Antoine Rosner. Rosner beat Bryson DeChambeau in the match play. He beat Siwoo Kim in the match play. He won the Qatar Masters in March. And he's had a humdrum few months, but last week finally rediscovered his A game. Final round 62 in Clan-sur-Sierre, finished 13th. He's got a good record in Italy. Course looks a good fit. Third European Tour title could be on for Antoine Rosner.
Where is the blighter? I can't find him in the betting.
40-1, you're Antoine Rosner.
40. Okay, sure. I was going a bit deeper than that. I thought it'd
That's
be a bigger
right. No,
cross.
you've got to go very deep for this last one.
No, all right, go on.
Eddie Pepperell.
Oh, Eddie. Good old Eddie.
Eddie, good old Eddie, 150-1. And we've already talked about the world rankings and the effect they can have. Pepperell has just slipped outside the world's top 300. It's time for him to knuckle down. He's a quirky character. He falls in and out of love of the game. He's got to get that world ranking under control now if he's going to remain a top-class golfer. This week, a great opportunity to stabilise his career. Tree-lined track, lots of dog legs, not overly long. I think Pepperell can shoot a competitive total here. We know how good he can be. Two European Tour wins in 2018. Third place in the 2019 Players' Championship at Sawgrass. There's been a few encouraging signs lately. 11th in the British Masters, more recently 22nd in the Hander, 29th in the Casu Classic. I think he's worth chancing at 150-1.
Okay. I would think, Steve, there's going to be some punters who look at this and think, well, Fitzgerald and Fleetwood have parachuted into what is basically the same old group of players who've been playing every week. You know, they might just be different gear. What would you say to those people?
I would say I respect their chances because I think the course sets up well for both of them. I would say Tommy Fleetwood's been a bit flat this year, been lacking that sparkle. Maybe a forthcoming Ryder Cup will provide the tonic he needs. So I say Fleetwood's got every chance, but he's not for me at the odds. Fitzpatrick, likewise, gone a bit off the boil lately and snapped his 5-wood on the journey over. He was very critical of Delta Airlines, I believe it was. He just showed a picture of his snapped 5-wood. So he's got to get a new 5-wood sorted before play starts on Thursday.
Do they still make them anymore? Presumably the manufacturer just get the same old one over, won't they?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a snooker cue. I mean, if a snooker player had...
That's the end of the world, that, for them, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to... You're contractually obliged to say it's like an extension of their arm, aren't you?
Yes.
Absolutely. In this regard, they'll get something else. But yeah, it's just unsettling for the lad.
Who would you be on then out of those two?
Very good question. That's why they pay the big bucks for questions like that. I slightly prefer Fleetwood, of the two. But they're both going to be playing in the Ryder Cup team, so there's no real motivation for them. You've got a big tournament next week for two English lads. I wonder if they'll have their eyes on Wentworth.
Oh, it's the BMW next week, is it? Yeah.
Very much so, John. Yeah, very exciting. Lovely.
Yeah, that'll be good, won't it? We should go to that. Can you get off work and go to that or not? It's not so much getting off work, it's getting off domestic duties as well, isn't it? Obviously, because you know, with the two young kids, isn't it? Oh, you are going?
I decided, thanks. Well, you can go too. I'm taking the whole family on the Sunday.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Because I've got myself off my Racing Post Greyhound TV shift on the Sunday. Cleared the decks for the Sunday, so I'm going to do my work in the morning, then head up there. Because all through the years, you listen to these English golfers and they say, when did you first fall in love with golf, don't they? Blah, 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 blah. And they always say, oh, yeah, I watched the went to Wentworth and watched the PGA. And, I just want Tommy Tiger to have that opportunity, really. I'm trying to develop a world-class golfer. I want him to get it. Yeah,
when so all four start. Of you are going, are they?
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. fantastic. And that's first, on the Sunday, is it?
Yeah, first golf tournament for all three of them.
Probably the last for two of them.
I need the Surrey weather to come good. I mean, if it's
have you paid or have you pulled a few strings?
I've paid. I'm a payer.
Yeah, yeah. I love that, Steve. There's nothing I hate more than journalists who refuse to pay to get in anywhere. It's pathetic, isn't it? Just pay like everyone else does, you know.
I've paid. I mean, Feeder are playing on the Sunday night. Are you a fan of Feeder?
I don't think I know Feeder.
Feeder are used to be a very successful act. They're
so it's like racing. They're putting bands on after the action, are they?
Absolutely, yeah. Which I think put a bit of price on the tickets. It's like £60 a ticket, but I mean,
how much have you paid for a family ticket?
£120 for me and the wife to go, and then the kid under 13's getting free. I mean, my I can't remember what the mark was, but yeah, you have to apply.
They're both comfortably under it.
Oh, comfortably under. Yeah,
that'll be great. Well, I may well join you. See if I can blag a free ticket. No, I might. So you're going on Sunday? Oh, that would be good.
I'm going on Sunday to watch my selection win. Yeah, it's going to be very,
exciting.
Very much. And introduce Tommy Tiger to golf, and then he'll be playing in that tournament in a few years' time.
Well, yeah, exactly. Good. Okay, right then. Shall we have a quick look at the Solheim Cup? It's USA versus Europe ladies. It starts on Saturday. I was slightly surprised. I was thrown by that because I thought it mirrored the Ryder Cup format, which is a Friday start. So tell us where, tell us what it comprises. USA 1-2, Europe 2-1, and it's 12-1 the tie. Just give me some thoughts because I know nothing about it.
Yeah, we're in Inverness Club, Ohio. Don't get confused. We're not in Inverness, Scotland. We're in Inverness, Ohio. And I just think the USA 8-15. I've seen some 8-15 out there. It seems perfectly fair. USA have got five players in the world's top 20, and Europe have only got one player in the world's top 20. So I think strength in depth, home advantage. You've got the Calder sisters going to post. You've got Nelly Calder, the world number one. She's got her sister Jessica in tandem. So that's going to be the story of the week, I think. And you know, obviously the timing's very good for double punters. You could have the USA Solheim Cup, Ryder Cup double. Obviously not very patriotic, but yeah, we're in the business of making some money, and that looks a decent double to me.
Okay, so you like that double, Steve. I mean, the one thought I did have about the Solheim Cup is that, you know, it used to be sort of, you know, the two world powerhouses. But now, of course, you know, there's so many fantastic Asian players. And this is going to increasingly become an issue for the Ryder Cup as well. I don't think that, you know, Europe and America can claim that this is the be all and end all anymore. And I think the Ryder Cup and the Solheim Cup should both be three-way affairs now with Europe, America, and rest of world. What do you think of that idea?
I think you make a very good point. I think, you know, even USA against Asia would be a very competitive ladies event, wouldn't it? You'd probably fancy the Asia. USA against Korea, you know, that would get your Donald Trumps of this world going. I mean, I think that would be a good event, you know, competitive event. So I think you're right. But yeah, the Ryder Cup, we don't need to change at the moment because Europe somehow always needs. Yeah, they won seven of the last nine. Europe, it's amazing how we always seem to. You know, come together, and you know, camaraderie counts for so much.
Except the one we went to in Kentucky, we were absolutely battered in that one, didn't
We did.
we?
We
Always the
did.
way, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I became an American for the week that week because
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I punted them. But yeah, I think yeah, we will have a Ryder Cup conversation soon, and you know, camaraderie will probably be the word we say several times because yeah, the European side will not have any infighting.
Do you know that for sure?
Yeah, well, I'll wait till all the 12 names are confirmed, but I can't really see any avenues for infighting yet. Whereas, one of my favorite words, that whereas, the Americans have just got, you know, it's just, yeah, Steve Stricker's got his work cut out
He
there,
does,
hasn't he?
doesn't he? And he seems like a kind of amiable chap. He doesn't seem like the sort of bloke who really understands hatred because he's such a kind of
No.
level-headed chap, isn't he?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think he needs to pick Phil Mickelson to come in and slap a few people into shape. I think
Yeah, but
Phil.
Mickelson's caused riots in the past, hasn't he? Where, you know, him
Yeah,
and
you
Tiger
learn
didn't get
from it.
on and.
You learn from it, don't you? The more the you know, Ryder Cup experience, Mickelson's got more of it than anyone in the shake-up for the team. I think he can come in and say, look, that was happening to me back in so and so. Yeah, this is what you got to do. Just come on, lads. We're all in it for the flag, blah, blah, blah. I think Mickelson, you can just about justify his wild card place on his USPGA performance. I think he should be picked ahead of, you know, your Daniel Bergers of this world.
But I wonder whether he'll stick Reed and DeChambeau together, not just on the golf course, but maybe off the course and just give them their own little room. And if they don't get on, then fine. But to be fair, the rest of them should be able to get the job done, such is their quality. But
I don't think Reed's going to make the team. I think
oh, is he not?
no.
Oh,
I
that's
just
fair.
think that's one. Yeah, he's got a great excuse to leave Reed out now, even with all the you know the illness. So I think Reed will be the least of his worries. You know, he's got to get DeChambeau and Koepka together and all the other little factions. So, yeah, interesting. But yeah, we will have this. We will have a very, very deep conversation soon because after the Tour Championship, the American Ryder Cup side's finalised. We get the picks for the Americans after this, and then after Wentworth, we get our European. So then we've got our 12 after Wentworth, 12 against 12. We can have a good old chat about it.
Okay, right. You're getting more into it now, aren't you? Okay,
Well.
let's reiterate our tips. Who are the two selections for the Tour Championship?
Jon Rahm, Rory McIlroy,
Okay, who are the five selections for the Italian Open?
Guido Migliozzi, Rasmus Højgaard, Victor Perez, Antoine Rosner, Eddie Pepperell.
Okay, brilliant. Next week, what have we got? We've got BMW, haven't we? That's the all eyes on the PGA at Wentworth, yeah?
Yeah, all eyes on that. Yeah, there is no PGA Tour event. They have a little rest before
Are
the
you
Ryder.
doing it as a day trip or are you going to stay in a hotel? I hear you had a nasty experience in a hotel on your holiday last week, didn't you?
I did have a nasty experience. Yeah. Walked into our room and there was a pair of hairy legs on the bed, four cans of empty Stella strewn everywhere. The telly was on. So my wife and kids were highly distressed by that. I mean, I saw the funny side. So yeah, we had to go back down and explain that. Yeah, fortunately, this person was so sort of comatose from their Stella Artois that they didn't move.
So they didn't notice a family of four walking in.
They didn't seem to notice. No, we had the key. Goodness. We went in, and that so it could have been a whole lot worse. But we went downstairs, and all sorts of drama, and the rest is history.
Goodness gracious me. Okay, Steve, anything else to report?
I don't think so. No. We've got a lot to look forward to. Let's have a good go this week. You know, John Rahm double, stick John Rahm in doubles with all your Italian selections. We're going to have both winners this week and live happily ever after.
Well, that's the dream. The reality may well be different. So do bet only with money you can afford to lose. As we always say, good luck. Thank you very much, Steve. Good to be back on the show with you. We're back next week for another Sweet Spot.